Morning, Anthony.
How are you?
I'm good. I spent the night in the Riverland. I'm nice and rested, ready to get into it.
I bet you are. Hey, you had a busy day yesterday.
Yeah.
Well, it's always a busy day for you, Tony. So the Berry Cottage Homes, the multi-function centre, that was open?
Yeah, it was. $425,000 via the Building Better Regions Fund, a project nearly worth $1 million. It supported 10 construction jobs that will now provide work for 2 part-time staff at the facility. And in addition to being that multi-purpose facility, it'll be the new home for Berry's RSL.
Well, that's fantastic news because, Lockie, as I said off air before the mics were on, download the podcast now. hey, there's another idea. I didn't even know there was an RSL in Berry.
Yeah, there is. There is.
The wayside.
And I know, Tony, you've been pretty big on RSLs across the electorate of Barker, always handing out flags and
bottles of rum.
Bottles of rum, yeah. But as well, a lot of upgrades at various RSLs over the years. I mean, some have been small grants, some have been big, but there's quite a few RSLs across the Riverland and Mallee, and as well the Barker electorate, for that matter.
Yeah, there is. They vary in sizes depending on, you know, what the motivation was and the membership back in the day. But the reality is these facilities are in need of some tender love and care, and the federal government via programs like the DVA grants are upgrading kitchens, toilets, general amenity via air conditioners and these things. Our plan is to ensure these facilities are utilised. I don't think our diggers want RSLs to become mausoleums that we visit once a year on Anzac morning. I think if we're to honour their service and sacrifice, I think they'd love to see these facilities used because, of course, they hold heaps of memorabilia, which is important that people have the opportunity to see much more often than once a year.
And not to forget too, I mean, some of these RSLs, the Loxton one in particular, has a bowling green out the back. So you can go for a roll and have a good time at the Loxton RSL, for that matter.
Yeah, but far for it for me to suggest this is another reason why you should visit an RSL, but I noticed the white wine at the Berry RSL is $2.30.
Oh, yeah, it's 70s prices.
And so it should be.
$2.30. I mean, at other venues, I don't think they get the glassware dirty for $2.30.
Also today, you're looking at some horticultural netting, some people that have applied, and I said, geez, you already had 14 applicants that have been approved, $2.9 million. So that's just the tip of the iceberg. There's a lot more available.
Well, there's a total of $14.6 million available across 2 regions, that is Riverland and Adelaide Hills. So in the Riverland, there's $7.3 million available. We've received 14 applications for a total of 2.9. So we've got a ways to go. So I'm looking forward to catching up with Brenton and Angie Kay at Wakeree, who are one of the successful applicants, 19 across the state at this stage, where they're going to be putting netting over some Karakara oranges, some blood oranges, some ruby red grapefruit. But I suppose I conducted some forums in the Riverland during, well, at the beginning when this grant fund was open. I just here, I suppose, reminding people that there's still an opportunity if you want to put your application in.
Yeah, and just on that, Tony, I mean, this has been a couple of years in the works. Because I know you were quite distraught a couple of years ago when there was those hail events in the region and thought there must be a better way to sort of sort this one out.
That's right. So I went away and worked with my colleagues to develop this fund. It is about providing a bit of insurance for horticulturalists, orchardists. For the benefit of your listeners, people can apply for up to $300,000. It needs to be matched dollar for dollar. For horticultural netting, which provides a lot of benefits, not just against hail, but it reduces the need for water. They're very irrigation efficient, and you get much better quality fruit because you're reducing wind and pest influences. So, look, I'm sure horticulturalists are out there thinking about this. Some of them maybe were busy at the time the applications were open. Maybe they thought it would be swallowed up very quickly. I'm here to tell them that they should think seriously about an application. They can reach out to their various industry groups, whether it's Citrus SA, Stone Fruit, etc., or alternatively contact my office and I'll put them in touch with an application form.
Tony, the other benefit of it is it's going to create some jobs because somebody's got to put these nets up.
Yeah, it's a lot of work. You know, at $50,000 a hectare, you can imagine $14 odd million turns into dollar for dollar $28 million. It's a significant amount of work. In fact, when we did our forums, we had those there that put up this horticultural netting, and they encouraged us to extend the time frame for the works to be complete. And okay. we've done that because they're concerned that they simply won't be able to get the work done as quickly as we were anticipating they would be under the guidelines of the program. Look, all of these elements, whether it's Berry Cottage Homes building better regions, whether it's the Murray-Darling diversification projects, which I'm going to see at Blanchetown this afternoon, they're all part of our job builder program. Mm. We've got job seeker, we've got job keeper. We're now very focused, I've got to tell you, on job maker. And whether it's horticultural netting, whether it's building better regions projects, whether it's home builder, which has gone completely nuts. We were expecting 1,700 applications for that program. In South Australia, we've had over 8,500.
Okay.
And I saw another really good article in the paper today suggesting that home starts are at a six-year high, which okay. is incredible to think in the middle of a pandemic, but is off the back of the fact that you can get $25,000 if you're building a home from the federal government. If it's your first home, the state government will match it with $15,000. So it's a $40,000 is a fair kickstart.
Really stepped up, haven't they, the federal government during this pandemic? How's it affecting your diary? Still, let's go back to, say, March, April, when we spoke to you and it was like, was sort of a little bit unknown. Has it settled down the workload, or are you still got a 80% focus on the pandemic? Where are we sitting?
I know we're
well
past 80%.
Okay, well that's good news.
In terms of how much of my time is taken up pandemic related,
we're
much closer to 100% than 80%. There's very little that we're doing at the moment that is, normal. Mm. Once upon a time, I would do a lot of my work in community. I travel a lot more. There'd be functions, events. Like the event yesterday when we opened Berry Cottage Homes, there was a good chance that wouldn't even happen because of COVID. Mm. Listeners might have a laugh because they know that I'm as round as I am tall. We don't get to have a scone or a cup of coffee or any of that kind of stuff. But I've got to tell you, the work is all academic now. It's all about policies and programs. We're fighting a health pandemic, but the bigger issue is the economic cost. Now, I think we're really lucky in a regional community like ours, whether it's Mount Gambier or Murray Bridge or here in the Riverland, we're a little isolated because our work is socially distant normally, and there's still strong demand for agriculture and agricultural products. But I've got to tell you, the economic hits are still to come. We would have an additional 700,000 Australians on job or on unemployment benefits if they weren't on JobKeeper. We've now extended that to March 2021. And at the same time, and these are the challenges I have and the frustrations, at the same time as I'm hearing about high levels of unemployment, I've got employers in this region, particularly seasonal fruit picking and other things, saying to me, we can't find staff. So the work once upon a time was in kind of fine-tuning the economic performance of our economy. Right now, it's almost like we've dropped the diff and we need to get under there and do some real mechanical work just to get the thing moving again. So that's kind of where we're at.
Yeah. Tony, I know you got a bit going on, but just quickly, this power interconnected between SA and New South Wales, it's been a big thing for a couple of years. I believe this might have been fast-tracked a little bit with recent events. This is going to be going, I guess, around the northern parts of the Riverland, and certainly a big project, but there will be some local economic activity from it.
Yeah, look, the interconnector, if it is built, and we're obviously bringing forward some forward works to kind of show the federal government's support for this program, or at least encouragement that it should, that the discussions between state government and the proponents should proceed. If the interconnector is built from New South Wales to South Australia, which will provide us obviously with another connection to the significant power generating states, we've got one to Victoria, but this is to New South Wales, and facilities like Liddell and others. It'll be a great thing for electricity prices in South Australia, provided the infrastructure is built at a reasonable cost. But there are, and there will be, massive opportunities all along that easement because proximity to the interconnector or to the transmission line is a very valuable thing. So, for example, renewable energy projects, you know, sun more than wind, I would have thought, in that area, are likely to be able to connect in easy. And given that a lot of that ground out there isn't, you know, high value horticultural or agricultural land, it lends itself to those kind of broad acre electricity generation uses. So it'll be interesting to see. I know there are a number of proponents sitting back and waiting to see if the interconnector is delivered and if so, when.
Yep, it's an interesting one and certainly something to keep an eye on. Tony, pleasure to catch up with you this morning. I know you've got a bit going on and no doubt we will talk with you again soon.
Thanks, well, James.
We can't let him go just yet, Lockie.
Yes, absolutely.
We've done all that stuff. Now it's time to get to the important issue at hand. Now, Tony, you're aware of Polly's picks in the Pioneer.
Oh, right. How's that going?
Well,
I'm a long way back.
Well, this is the thing. We want to get your thoughts on this because I went away for 2 weeks, as you know.
Yeah.
And not singling anybody out, but Lockie Winnell didn't keep a proper tally over the 2 weeks. So I've come back yesterday and gone, all right, well, let's wipe the board clean and start again. Let's do it from my holidays to my holidays. So prior to that, Timmy was at 33. You were at 18.
Yeah.
So after yesterday, Tim's at 1 and you're at 2. Haven't we upset the Tim? There is protest and outcry activity.
Well, I think this needs to be, you know, statistically adjusted too, because my electorate has 6 state electorates in it. So one of my photos in the Murray Pioneer, I think, should equate to 6 of Tim's.
Right.
So if you do those maths, I'm winning.
All right. Well, we will put that suggestion to Tim Whetstone when he comes in tomorrow. Tony Fassett, member for Bucket, thanks for your time this morning. Enjoy the rest of your stay in the Riverland. We'll catch up real soon.
Thanks, fellas.